That's the latest. I'm Charlie Max.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Making a Researcher. For this show, we're going to talk about research, life of being a researcher. And for today's, we have the lovely Lilia from the English Department at the University of York. And would you like to say hi to the audience?
Hello. Hello, audience.
Hi. You are in your third year.
Yes.
Would you like to briefly introduce the research project that you've been working for the last 3 years to the audience?
Yeah, well,
listeners.
I'm working on Shakespeare translation into Mexican Spanish, but particularly I'm focusing on double meaning and the sexual puns. And well, it kind of gets complicated, but in general, that's what I'm doing.
Like, right. Yeah. You're looking into Shakespeare and the use of dirty jokes.
Yeah, of course.
And what's the other one? I can't remember. Just read the title. One is dirty jokes and the other is
double meaning, sexual
yes,
double meaning.
Yes.
Yeah, puns, whatever, like the sexual puns
in
Shakespeare.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, well, there's many reasons.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I can easily talk about it in a chronological way. Like, I started out
Sure. Like
imagining that we don't have that many good Shakespeare translations into Mexican Spanish.
Right, really.
The ones we have are usually like for 19th century Spain and like very, very polite and very, you know,
quite dated.
Yeah,
we have
dated.
That in China as well. It's very,
I know,
very, I don't know, it's like you are listening to the speech of the Queen in a way. It's very dated, not the way how we actually talk.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so I started thinking, like, first of all, if this is a translation, there's no need to be like translating into a fakey language that people are not really going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And well, second of all, I really love Shakespeare. So I started thinking, like, how can I get my people in Mexico to love him and not think that he's boring? Because people usually think, oh, he's really boring and whatever and blah, blah, old people stuff. But it's not.
It's classics.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. It's super fun and it's super, like, people also somehow believe that it's intended for high-class audiences when it's really not. Like, Shakespeare was very for the masses, of course. So
it's very diverse, his writing. It kind of go from everywhere and it suits every kind of appetite if you want to read it.
Of course. And, well, and also that it was, like, meant for interpretation, like, not for reading, but for, like, plays and everything. But it's also amazing to read. So I started thinking, what could I do to bring it closer to Mexican culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been a little bit in love with his use of double meaning and how he's actually very, very, like, dirty and cheeky. And and this is something that people know here, but, like, most people don't know it in Mexico.
Like, when it's translated.
Of course, because these translators from the 19th century, they would, like, intentionally wash him out of these incorrect things. Well, they were, like, kind of prudish. It was, like, a different time. So they, like, you can even read the statements from the translators saying, like, oh, no, we took away the dirty language because that's not proper.
That's the fun. It's like when you read Oscar Wilde. Part of his work is just pure sarcasm, man.
Of course.
Yeah. I love him so much as well. It's just
amazing.
Some of the things that they spit out of their mouth is just like gold.
Yeah, of course. And that's like super funny. And
can you think of one example that, like, really strikes you and think, oh, wow, this guy is amazing and he talks in such a funny way and etc.?
Shakespeare. So many.
Top of your head?
Well, one that I use with my students when I was back home, and it was always very popular, is, like, I was working Romeo and Juliet. So there's this part where Mercutio is talking to Romeo and he's, like, telling him, like, why are you so sad? Let's go dancing, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, no, I'm sad for Rosalind and I'm in love and that's why I'm sad. So he says, well, like, why are you sad? Like, if love, I don't actually know the dialogue, but it's like he says, like, why are you, like, so sad? If you're just, like, in love, you should be, like, light and happy. And he's like, no, I'm too sore and pierced with his shaft, too sore, like, with my wings. So it's all this dialogue where he's talking about love as, like, Cupid, and it's actually, well, kind of homoerotic, because it's like about, like, I'm sore because love pierced me with his shaft. So it's like, and I I had my students read this and they were like, I can't believe this. It's so like contemporary and so like funny and like, oh yeah, well, of course I'm sore because of that. And it's just like something that nobody thinks about. And of course, in translation, it doesn't say the same thing. Like it says...
No, it's never really... It's probably one of the reasons why people are foreign languages as well. Just to understand the literature, the music. Yeah. Once it gets translated, it's just horrible.
It's horrible.
It lost everything, apart from the literal meaning, I imagine. It lost the rhyme, the rhythm, the musicality of the language. It's just... gone.
Yeah, completely. And well, specifically, I mean, you can make good translations and there are some examples, but I think like you have to be more present into the translation and assume
it needs to be updated.
Yeah, of course, update it, because like assume that you're not going to like, convey the exact meaning. That's not possible.
No.
So you might as well like try to say what's really there. I don't know. But yeah.
So that's why you kind of started from there, from your personal interest into Shakespeare?
Shakespeare and the dirty stuff. Well, that, and because that's the Shakespeare part, that, you know, there's a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And also the Mexican culture part.
Yes.
Because, and this is something that I have to do a lot of research on. That's what I'm doing, actually, like more the Mexican culture bit. Because we have a very particular, like, humor manifestation that's called albur.
Right.
And
it's a type of humor.
It's a sort of wordplay.
Oh, okay.
That's a little bit like, you know, like how in rap battles, they have like insulting each other's moms and stuff like that. So it's like humorous insults.
Yes.
We have that in Mexico and it's very, very widespread and it's everywhere. Like a lot of things you can say can be interpreted in double meaning.
Right.
So this is Mexican albur. I mean, this like...
So it's like a whole country is sort of... sarcastic in a way, or double, so it's double meaning every day.
Yeah, of course. I mean, everything. You can see this in advertising, you can see this in like in publicity, in everyday. It comes from a very, it's got a very big social and like, social importance because it comes from the lower classes and how, they were like sort of rebellious in their way of being incorrect. You know, like we're very dirty because we're low class and we're proud of. And also it was very male. It was a solely male activity, which was specifically about like you as a man trying to verbally rape the other man in a funny way.
Okay.
You know, it's like...
It's insulting.
Yeah, but...
Not just insulting.
Really.
It's kind of provoking or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you would say something and something that could be interpreted into double meaning and somebody like says something, it's about wit.
Sass
yes. and wit and but everything like relating to sex.
Oh wow.
So because we have this and a lot of what Shakespeare does can be related to this, like in some bits the double meaning is very similar, and I thought, well, wow, why does nobody translate him that way? Like why does everyone ignore this part?
The sassy translation of Shakespeare.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah. And there are some, well, I last year I talked to this great playwright that made a great translation of Hamlet, and it had a lot of the double meaning and, you know, all of these puns.
Yep.
And he actually did it in a very, very particular, we call it Chilango, is the like the slang of Mexico City.
Yes.
And he did it in that.
So it's kind of customized.
To
the particular contest.
Yeah. And like when I talked to him, and it was very successful. Everybody loved this Hamlet, and it was like a rage, and they were like playing it for like a couple of years, I think, like two seasons and whatever. And it was really good. I couldn't see it because I was here, but I read it. He gave me like the
transcript.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he told me like the same thing that I thought, like I was asking him, where did you go for your translation?
Exactly.
And he told me that he read all that he could find of the translations into Spanish that were already published.
Yes.
And he didn't find anything that was like good. He thought everything was very like academic.
Yes.
So he made his own translation.
Oh.
And yeah, it turned out really good.
It's very interesting. I hope we should do that in other languages as well. I mean, it must exist in other... Well, it kind of have to exist in other languages, especially if their translation is quite outdated. And
yeah.
Yes.
I think they do. I mean, the thing also is that you get all these really good translations, but they are made specifically for school
teaching,
for a play, like,
right? Oh yes,
the directors alter the translation a little bit, or they make their own translations, and then you have this, and it's staged, and it's amazing, but there's no record of it, so you kind of have something happening like that all the time.
It's not written, basically.
Well, no,
it's not documented.
Just like the notes of the director.
That their interpretations and how they should go on the stage. Wow, they should be collected.
Well, yeah, it should. And well, yes, I think it kind of comes from these two different areas of Shakespeare study, at least in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I can only speak about Mexico.
Sure, no problem.
But I know, yeah. But in Mexico, you have like the two different kinds of translations. Mm. You have the academics, you know, the scholars that are trying to make it very accurate and very, well, for study.
Yes.
So it's not meant for staging.
Yes.
It's not staged for the people. It's more like, it's not thought for the people, it's thought more like for the researchers. So you have that, and those are the ones that get published with notes and with, like, and they're very useful for scholars,
yeah, referencing and etc.
Yeah, but then you have the other type of translations, which are the ones that I was telling you about, that are the directors or the screenwrights, whatever, the playwrights, just doing a translation because they want to, like, they have this event and they actually want to do a staging of Romeo and Juliet or whatever. So they do this, and that's why it has no record. And I think we should maybe bring those two areas together a little bit, you know, like
bridge them.
Yeah.
And let them, I don't know, talk to each other and see probably some of the academics, they have more modern ideas as well, but they kind of have to follow the rules. It's the,
yeah, and most of the times it's either that the academics are too concerned with, like, translation theory and how you justify things, and so, which is very important, but on the other side you have these directors and playwrights that are completely unconcerned with
just
that.
Free,
yeah,
just running wild,
so it's
see
very,
what happens. Yeah,
yes, of course, and it usually goes well, but then what do you do with them? They refuse to even write it down, you know, even like clean up their writing, and because that's not what they want.
No.
So yeah.
Wow. Yes,
well, that's the breach. Yeah.
That's your gap there, mm-hmm. that you want to kind of filling this huge differences in between the two schools of translation or whatever you put it.
Yeah.
Wow. So how are you going to do it? How is your research structured? And
good question.
I know. You're in your third year. I assume that you know.
A little bit. I have an idea. No,
right.
Well, sort of. Oh, first of all, I'm not actually doing the translation because that's like work
you're
of
looking
a lifetime.
At them.
Yeah. Mm. I'm proposing some ideas for later. I mean, I might. Yeah, of course, I'd love to work on translation, but that's not.
You
like,
only have 3 years to do a PhD. Yeah. You're not going to translate everything.
Of course not. But also, like, what I want to do is maybe propose that other people do it too. You know, like make it, take Shakespeare and make it a little bit our own.
Mm.
Like, use it and play with it. So what I'm doing is, with my thesis, I'm starting with a base of explaining how this works in Mexican culture,
yes,
the albur and the double meaning,
mm-hmm.
and how it's very important socially, even like especially now, because, you know, we have all these things with racism and Trump on the wall and how everything.
Have you seen the Twitter of him today?
Oh,
was the T-Rex?
Oh, I didn't see that. What
that
happened?
Was a good one. No, he was basically giving out trick or treats to all the kids, and the kids was dressed up in T-Rex.
Right.
And he was kind of like astonished by the look of him. It's very funny.
Aww, I have to look it up.
I know.
The man is
poor
crazy.
Kid. Yeah. Hope he gets candies.
Oh, well.
Right. I know. Can't talk too much about it. Then we get short ass.
Yeah, no, it's
yeah,
true.
No.
That's just not.
Yeah, just leave him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I only care about that because, well, it's part of
the
Mexican
culture.
Identity right now, the situation, this feeling of like being inadequate and whatever in the Shakespearean context. I was like talking to this about this the other day with some friends, and it's just like we're the new Jews, you know, like we're in relation to the United States, because they're big and powerful and right next to us. So it like undermines national security, like not security, like identity and everything. So yeah, of course, I have to explain this and how it all works and how sometimes we cling to this very particular elements of our culture, like Cold War, or like, yeah, our whole...
Cold War's interesting. I wish I could get someone who works on Cold War to talk on the show. Do you know anybody?
No.
I know, it would be so fun, right?
Yeah.
I know. All these legends and all these mysteries. I'll just check with them. Is that true? Is that true? They really do that? Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
That's
a bit off topic, but then the whole show is off topic. Yeah, totally. Whatever. Yeah, go on then.
Well, the whole process of making a thesis is off topic sometimes.
Oh my God,
well,
yeah. You get so distracted by everything. I think that's part of the PhD life. You just find more interesting things to look at and you look at your topic and you think, nah.
Yeah, or just like find it's like so diverse and you think, how am I going to do this? Like, should I focus on this? Should I focus on this other thing?
That's why we have a supervisor to kind of whip us and keep us on track. Don't do that.
Supervisors.
Yeah. I know. Who's the supervisor, by the way?
Eric Sheen.
She's amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
she's
that's
good.
Very
nice. Very
Did you know her? Him? Her?
Her.
Did you know her before you came here?
No, I didn't. I got like assigned. Well, it's like part of the process when we come here. We don't really know many people, but like, yeah, you get assigned and then you like write
you
to
get
them
on,
and they write back. And yeah, it's been great. Great. She's been great.
Oh, that's very nice. Do you only have one supervisor or...?
I have one, yeah.
You have one and you have another head member.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so back on the... yes, so you are going to start your thesis with explaining how this cultural humor works in Mexican.
Yeah, I have to start a little bit with like identities and national identities and like how we build up this national identity and how in our case it's built around low class. Because that's how it's like it's happened throughout.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. So a big part of it is this double meaning play, which is very important socially because it's a way of like, you know, sticking it to the man. You know, like I can't beat my boss in like I can't make more money and I have to do what he says, but I can outpun him. You know,
yes.
Is that okay? Yeah, that's
Is that
really
okay?
Weird.
Right, it's that's like really weird.
Yeah, it's like a level ground where you can talk, and this happens a lot, you know, happens in like mechanic shops or construction workers.
Right.
Where they have maybe the architect or the engineer or the supervisor of the work and the construction workers, and they have this sort of game, and in the game, they're all equal, and whoever wins, wins.
So this is one of those like safe area when you can kind of talk about everything. It's like going to the pub after the work.
Work. Completely. And the pub is another place where our version of pubs, which is cantinas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, they're not. They used to be originally that the people who were not allowed in a cantina were women, people in uniform.
That's nice.
And children. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, that's nice.
Up until the 80s, and that gives you an idea of how sexist we've been before. Up until the 80s, I think it was 84 that nationally there was like a rule where women were supposed to be allowed into cantinas.
Right.
So this is like very male context, but then in contemporary Elbor, it becomes not just socially very rebellious, but in matters of gender, it's very rebellious too. Because.
Oh, wow.
Well, yes, because now as a woman, I can participate in Elbor. And I am also in a level ground with the males. So they might be saying like stuff.
So it's
like,
the same arena.
Yeah. It's like metaphorically, they're like trying to
undermine
rape me.
Yes.
Sexually. Yeah. It's completely about
wordplay.
That.
Yes.
But in this game, I can do that too.
Ooh.
So yeah. It's
that's
like,
a lot of power.
Yeah. It's like I have a metaphorical penis.
Yes.
And I can use it.
Grab them by the something.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, I can do. And that's also very liberating. And it's also where it goes into feminism a little bit and gender and like the performative gender because I can play as a male.
Yeah.
And this is very natural.
Do they play as a female?
No.
That's not the other way around.
It's always male against male. So it's weird. Yeah, but they don't, even when they get, when they lose the game, it's not that they become women. It's
no, they're still male.
They're just
underdog in a way.
Well,
not underdog. Yeah.
No, it's actually quite funny. And there's very few studies on Elbor.
Yes.
But one of them, like the most complete one that I've found, says that it's very, very theatrical. You know, it's like very performative. So the thing is, nobody really gets mad.
No.
And it's not about, like, the person that loses the game is the person that doesn't have the wit to respond quickly anymore. So it's...
Can I get it back next time?
yeah, well, it's not, it's not very established. It's not like there's going to be a next time, but he can like try and get back to the other person. It's just something you do with your friends. Like, yeah, you
talk
about that. That's
very interesting. Wow. Yeah. I guess you have to understand the language in order to understand the this culture. If it gets translated, probably you won't do the same thing as well.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah, to originally get in the context, you have to understand the language, but you can translate. I mean, I actually had to translate a couple of outward conversations for my thesis, and it was like really funny trying to translate. It was hilarious. I was like, oh my God, how do I say this? I mean, I swear so much on my thesis. And I thought,
is that okay?
Well, I talked to this about this with my supervisor, and she was like, well, that's your topic. What else are you going to say? You have to talk dirty because this is what you're talking about.
I'd like to read your thesis. Mine looks so disgusting. It's so boring now. Mine's just playing statistics and data, and I know,
very useful too. I mean, come on, I keep thinking that I'm doing this, and then when I'm finished with it, I'm just not gonna know what to do with it. It's like, oh, right.
That's part of the PhD dilemma, isn't it? Yeah. It's when you're finished, you always think, okay, I've learned so much stuff about analyzing data. If I don't use it, why have I done that for the past 4 years? It's part of the things that you can't really let go, and you don't know really the use of it. Yeah.
Well,
you'll find a
hopefully
job,
you'll find something
somewhere.
No, and you'll find some use for your research, I'm pretty sure. And I hope I do. I hope you do. I think the best of it is that,
quest. I think quest of it is the most exciting part for me. Before the data actually came out, it was one of the most exciting parts to just look at it and you think, oh, this can go this way, this can go that way. Yeah. Then when it came out, it was like, okay, it went that way. Never mind.
The possibilities and the ideas. Yeah, I know.
Very interesting. Yeah. So you're in your third year now, and you are more than halfway through
the writing.
You're already in writing.
Oh, yeah, but like not that much into it. Well, I don't know. We're always writing because it's the English department, I guess.
Yeah.
So
is that everything you do? Read and write.
Read and write.
Read and write.
No. Well, yeah, read loads of things, right? Yeah. Talk to people. And I have to go back to Mexico every once in a while to talk to people over there because, like I said, a lot of the things are not in writing. Like, they're the stuff that happens in the theater communities and how comedy works, and so it's talk to people a lot too. And yeah, that's
it. Gets me a lot of interesting people then.
Yeah, fun people.
I know. Yes. They're one of those ones really cool people, you really want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
I know.
And then you learn from them a lot. It's
definitely. Their perspectives, their ideas, then they're just fascinating to talk to.
Yeah. And well, sometimes you can see, like, for me, because it's always about Shakespeare and all different interpretations of Shakespeare, you can like find the weirdest people with the weirdest interpretations of things, and that's super fun. It's like,
it's so interesting. About 2 months ago, Tom Hiddleston did a Hamlet in Rada. I went to see the opening night.
Oh my god. You
oh
did?
Oh my god, yes.
I am so jealous.
Oh my god, I was so, because basically they did a ballet, so that you have to enter your email address, and I registered 5 different emails just for the sake of that thing, right? My boyfriend entered on a whim and he won, and I was like, oh, this is so not fair. Yeah, but he took me. I'm like, if you're not taking me, then this is over.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I know.
I know. It was. He was so good. It was really, really, really good.
I think he's very good.
He's so handsome as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're completely off the topic about who cares. It's hot, Tommy Dustin. Yeah, we actually talked about the interpretation of Hamlet, and I think it was all in his head. The tragic and everything is because he sort of speculated that everything, that there was no, in my understanding, there was no concrete evidence suggested someone did something. But yeah, like you said,
it's all interpretation.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing though. When stuff like with stuff like Shakespeare or like in the case of Spanish with Cervantes, that happens a lot too, you have this cultural product, but it's not the same as it was when the moment it came out.
No.
So it's like charged also with so many cultural, like so much cultural baggage and so many different interpretations throughout time.
I know.
And that has to make a difference. Like, it makes a big difference. And I think it's like, it's crazy and it's amazing. And that's also why we do this, because we want people, I want like people to build up their own Shakespeare, you know, their own Mexican Shakespeare.
Definitely.
And yeah, I feel like it's possible.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, I think it's very meaningful as well. You see through his lenses and you add up into your interpretations and it can become a work of your own in a way.
Well, yeah. And also, like, yeah, it's sad. And it's that the fact with literature is that we relate to it and we make it part of our lives.
Yes.
So this is a way also to make it part of our lives. Like, you know, if you can, like, see how all this is happening in Shakespeare, you can, it's also a voice to speak about all this stuff that's happening in your own life, in your country, in this context that is so far away from the Shakespearean original context. So I think that's very beautiful.
So you're one of the explorers into this kind of perspective of the study.
Well, there's not many people doing Shakespeare in Mexico.
That's surprising, actually, because I thought Shakespeare's like everywhere.
Well, we know him. That's the thing. You see Shakespeare at school, like in high school or in middle school, high school. And if you study literature, of course, you have to read him, whatever. Yep. Yeah. And most people know what it's about. And for example, like everybody knows what Romeo and Juliet is about because everybody's seen movies and, you know, the 90s, Leonardo DiCaprio and the Baz Luhrmann. And yeah, of course, everybody knows about Shakespeare, but it's sort of like it's untouchable. Like most people just don't even think about doing something with Shakespeare because it's so far away. So we have a couple of people working Shakespeare translation, but just not more than a couple, maybe 3-4, but like two important ones. And it's kind of sad. I mean,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I suppose that happens a lot of classics as well. Classic literature. They are kind of, like you said, they are not touchable. They are there. They're translated into this way. Yeah. They stay in this way. And unless you really have a bone to pick with it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Right. So that's the academic side of your life?
Yeah.
And you are still enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Oh. I mean, I'm confused all the time because I think that's also what being in a PhD is, being confused all the time.
Yes.
But I love
about
even
everything
the confusion.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. No, everything. What are you going to do after it? What, like, are you doing? Is it
are
right?
Are you actually doing it? Yeah.
What are you doing? Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing anything and I am doing stuff, but it's just like...
Exactly. For the day.
It's so weird.
Like, once you enter into the third and the fourth year, you go into this huge, chaotic situation that you have so many things to do, but then you can't really sum it up in a way like, okay, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this.
Yeah, so you feel like you've done nothing. And you actually did do something. It's just so confusing and so...
It's quite trivial as well. They are scattered in different places.
Until it comes together, you see no results.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, well, it's...
Not hopeless at all. No, you just have to deal with it. Dealing with hopeless is part of the making a researcher process.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And well, no, but we like it. I mean, come on. Yeah. Even the uncertainty of like not knowing what's happening.
If not, we'll be here.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We've had enough time to drop out if we wanted to. And now I love it with a passion. I mean, I'm still talking
about it on Tuesday nights. Like most people on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock, they all go on drinks or go on pub.
Yeah, and it's Halloween too.
I know. I'm going to dress up like...
Yeah. This is part of my costume.
Is that?
Yeah.
Who is it supposed to be?
Johnny Cash.
Right.
I have a hat.
You do?
Somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it is Halloween. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's already Halloween. It's, what, 7 weeks to Christmas? Or 8-ish weeks to Christmas?
Don't tell me about it.
I know.
No, I have a tap meeting before that. So yeah, that's kind of scary.
Oh, that's nice. I know. Last time, I forget which guest there was, we started suggesting that in order to reduce the stress that we suffer from a tap meeting or, I don't know, Viva at the end, right? We should ask the lecturers or the examiners to dress up. That would be so nice.
Dress up in costume or dress up...
in costume.
Like in...
Whatever.
Oh, that would be
so
much fun.
That would be so much fun. I know. Then we won't be scared to death.
It'd be amazing.
And we think that, like, human, they're not our enemies. They're just, like, fun to join the bus. I know. We should really sign.
Oh, my... Yeah, I would love to have that, like, for my Viva, to have, like...
I know.
Like,
the whoever
dressing up as like Shakespearean characters, that would be amazing. I would
I can provide the costume, I don't mind.
Just do it
and it would be so much nicer, right?
Yeah,
it would create
that'd
be cool.
Yeah, in general I think it could be a bit friendlier, you know, like
it definitely does. And I think it can be one of the marketing strategies for attracting PhD students to come to York as well. We dress up
for the TAB meetings.
Yeah, I know. We dress up. Even a little bit. A hat.
Yeah, no, like
mustache.
Or like a mask. Yeah, mustache.
A mask.
They should let you like go and answer the questions and everything with a mask, because that way you won't be like, so scared.
I don't want to get up in the morning and thinking, well, I'm having a viva today and I need to put on makeup. I just don't want to. Just go with a mask. I know.
That'd be great.
Well thought out there. If anybody's listening, and if anybody from the administration is listening, please
do it. We're really serious.
I know. We're that serious. I know. Yeah. Right. So you do have your. Do you have any? This is your first time in a UK higher education, or have you been here before?
That's my first time.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
And you arrived about 3 years ago. Around now.
Yeah, 2 years. I'm starting.
2 years. Actually,
2 years. Yeah.
Oh my God. What was the first impression? Did you arrive in London or Manchester?
Manchester. Yeah. Well, first of all, it's exhausting. I mean, I don't know. Probably you had to deal with this too.
Yeah.
For us, it's the flight is 10 hours, but it was the first time I came, it was 30 hours in total because I had to do
a bus
to Cancun, and then I flew to Frankfurt because I couldn't find a direct flight. I had like a short notice and everything, so I had to stay there all day, and then from Frankfurt to Manchester, and in the end then take the train.
The stay there all day is the worst part.
Awful.
I hate change.
It's like that. Well, I usually kind of like, I don't really mind it if I have like a good book or something. I feel like
if it's a holiday.
Yeah, if you don't have to get somewhere, I feel like, well, it's like a small time capsule, you know, like you can just be there. There's nowhere else you have to be. Like read a good book and relax, get some coffee and wait. And that's it.
Mm.
But then if you have to actually be there for something,
it gets
so stressful.
I know. Yeah. The first part of the journey, you keep thinking, are we delayed? Yeah. And the second part, you think, oh my God, are we on time? Yeah. It's so annoying. I hate that. Yeah.
It really is.
So you arrived 2 years ago, straight to York. Yeah. Why did you pick York, by the way?
Well, York picked me. I don't know, because it was a very good English department.
Yes, it is. It's quite small as well, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's also like it has a really good reputation.
It's
one of the best in the country, and yeah, I think it was because I got
picked.
Yeah, I got picked. I had a couple of other options, but they didn't seem as attractive. No, I thought about Birmingham, but
so glad it didn't go. Sorry if anybody's from Birmingham.
I don't know Birmingham, I don't have like any prejudice, but like, yeah, I've been told that it's nicer, it's easier, life is easier here. That's it.
York is small, you don't need a car. That's a very good point.
Don't need a car, of course, and that's like very significant when you can't drive British, like, because
I can't drive, period.
Yeah, well, I can drive, but you know what happens to me, like when I went home this last summer, I was like inadvertently driving on the other side of a road, and like,
it's quite scary.
It is very scary. It's like you don't realize, and oh my God, I'm on the wrong side. And I even thought, like, why are these people coming towards me? And
why then I realized, is everyone
what's happening?
I know.
Yeah, this happened to me. So it's kind of scary, and it's good that we don't need a car.
Not really, unless you're going to really far away places, but no, usually you can get around it by bus or
really
on foot.
Good transportation, trains, buses.
Right.
Yeah, it's very good.
And it's very, temperature-wise or weather-wise, it's very different from your hometown.
Yeah, it's really different. But it's not as bad. People kept telling me, like, it's going to be freezing, you're going to be dying. It's so not... there's places
like
in Mexico.
2 years ago was fine. We had like really cold summer, I remembered. One of the summer was absolutely freezing.
Yeah.
But then when it gets to autumn/winter, it's actually okay. Like,
yeah, it's really weird. And then you get like nicer temperatures in the spring than in the summer.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Summer's just rubbish in here in general. I think for the past 3 years, there is no single like hot day. It's just bah. Like that.
Yeah. I remember like maybe one or two, but in the spring, not in the summer. I don't know. But But yeah, I mean, it's not, it's really not as cold as I expected, because yeah, I mean, I keep saying, like, come on, people, we have colder places in Mexico than any place in the UK. I mean, we have mountains. And
do you have heating?
Mexico or here?
Mexico.
In Mexico, no.
No. But so you're one of those poor souls who have to suffer the cold.
Well, in my area, there is no cold, but no, the cold areas, I'm pretty sure they have heating.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not central heating, but, you know, heaters, gas heaters.
Yeah. Stuff or like that. Aircon that
freezes out. Aircon that, yeah, that heat. Makes it.
Yeah. We have that in Shanghai, so it's so desperate. We get to about zero-ish degree in the winter, so it's proper cold, right? And the winter's actually quite long. We don't have heating. We don't have anything here. We have to bloody use heaters or those like lamps, that the oil lamps that kind of warms up. It's quite dangerous. Yeah. Was the food as bad as you imagined?
It's not really that bad.
No, so you are actually really enjoying it.
I am. I mean, there is a lot of things that come on. All the variety of like sweet stuff, biscuits and cakes and all that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. Yeah, it's so good. And scones are the best thing in the
scones
world.
Scones are so good.
Yeah.
Scones are so good. And something about scones that are like freshly made. They just
amazing.
Gave out the vibe of happiness and content.
Yeah.
You're just like, everything's fine.
Of course.
Instead of dressing up for Viva, maybe they should supply scone as well.
Maybe that's like easier.
Order two for those really stressed ones.
Yeah.
We should have option.
I don't see the problem. I mean, why not do it?
Yes, scones are nice. We can talk over tea. Yeah. Seriously, I know.
That would be so much nicer.
I was told once by one of my friends who just finished completed her Viva. She told that one of her a colleague from the department, they did a 6-hour Viva. So I thought, do they supply you with lunch and stuff? She was like, no.
Like water or something. No. Snacks?
So you just get kind of like terrorized by six hours. It's like traumatizing.
You're being tortured. I mean, you're being starved and like,
oh my God, yeah.
That sounds awful, man. I'm so scared.
I know. Now you think like scones. Now you think about scones. You think, oh, everything's fine.
Happiness and joy, of course.
Know, right? Yeah, so you have scones. So you're really happy about the overall experience in York.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, of course, there's a couple of things that I miss with a passion. Like, I bring chili with me every time. I like chili sauce every time I come back. Yeah, of
can
course.
You not find it here? It's not as good. Or not as can good. You simply not find
good.
It?
Not as good. Oh. I'm sorry. It's not as good.
Of course, no. I love Mexican food. I love Mexican food just in general. It's like one of the things I can't live without. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, but you know, like, I don't only, and I was telling this to a friend yesterday, I feel kind of bad, but I don't only miss Mexican food, I miss stuff like, you know, like American stuff, like
deep fried chicken,
fresh Krispy Kreme, you know, like the donuts, but fresh ones.
They just started one in the town. Have you seen?
Where?
Right opposite Lush.
Oh my God.
They just started a Krispy
Kreme. You are so making, I'm so going tomorrow.
Yes.
I want saw it fresh and I
was like literally like screaming. I was like, there is a Krispy Kreme.
Oh my God, I'm so happy about this.
Next to Paper Chase. I think it's right next to the Paper Chase where they sell the car. Yeah, no. There was a small bakery there. Remember? There was like a Cornish bakery. And it was so like, duh. That now it's Krispy Kreme.
Oh my God, I'm so happy about this because, I mean, you could only see them like old and stale in the Tesco.
Sad, I know.
No, I don't want that. I want the fresh ones.
And I don't want five same ones in a bag.
Of course, you want to pick different ones. Oh, I love Krispy Kreme. No, the one we have back home, like in my city, is 24 hours. Most of them are 24 hours. So it's like, even if you're coming home at 4 a.m,
I love
you can
24 stop. Hours.
Yeah,
anything.
Yeah, I know.
We really should have that in here, honestly.
Yeah, that's also a big culture shock for me. Everything closes so early.
I know. Especially if you come, like, so you sort of arrived after the summertime has finished, so everything is shut by like 5 or 6 and everything is dark. Yeah. Oh,
sad.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's, you have a very fair point there. We have a Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme. Oh my God, that's so good. I am so happy about this. I'm so gonna like,
I'm completely off the topic, but never mind.
No. I'm so grateful for this. I'm probably gonna get really fat, but
who
gonna
cares?
Be worth it.
I know.
It's gonna
Krispy
be worth
Kreme.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, sign up for the gym and that's the only reason I go to the gym. Yeah.
Yeah,
honestly.
Of course. That's what
so we can eat.
So you can eat, of course.
It's not because I want to be slim or everything.
No.
I just
want to eat and drink.
And yeah. not not feel guilty about it.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
Every time you had a donut or something, you just think, oh, I went to swim today, so it's fine.
Doesn't matter. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
I ran a few miles. I can have another one. Yeah, it's true. I do that too.
Is running part of your thing?
Oh, yeah, I do. I run.
Good. Yeah. For how long?
Have I been running?
Yeah.
Well, a few years, I think, very randomly. I just ran for the pleasure of it. I started running back home on a treadmill, of course, because of the weather. So with air conditioning on a treadmill.
That doesn't sound like running at all.
It's not, but I mean, it's 45 degrees.
You pass out.
You seriously can't. Yeah. No. So just switch on the air conditioning and get on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. And that's it. But here it's amazing because you can actually go out on the street and run and whatever. And
around the lakes, it's really nice. Around the rivers when they're not flooding. Yeah.
And on that behind Knavesmire towards Bishopthorpe, it's really pretty to run that way.
That's very pretty as well. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I just realized that it's a flooding season again, isn't it?
It is.
They been flooding? I don't even know.
It's been a bit high, but it's not really flooded. No.
Yeah. Do you remember that
the first
time?
Year I was here? Yeah.
Were you trapped?
Yeah, no, I wasn't here. I went to Spain to visit family, so I was luckily away.
I know.
Yeah, but I saw that.
I was in Fulford. I was in Fulford, and I thought I was oh my God.
Well, Fulford didn't get that bad.
I think Fulford Road closed down. I think it depends on the more towards the outlet part you were living, or it's actually towards town.
It got bad, yes.
Nothing was there, honestly. I've seen waters coming in from the window, going out from the door.
Oh my God.
It's a circle.
So your house did get flooded?
No, my house was actually on the border. The one in front of us was, bless those people. I know.
So bad.
Yeah, compared to those, this year's fine.
So far. Snuck on wood,
touch wood. Yeah. Don't jinx ourselves. Tomorrow we need to pong out to the university.
Oh my God, no. Hope it doesn't happen again.
But university never gets flooded.
Because it's
quite
far away.
Exactly. It's high up as well. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the steep, the ramp we have to kind of climb up to get to university?
Yeah, well, but this is good. I mean, I don't know.
We're safe.
I like uni. It's good.
Yeah, I like the university as well. Yeah.
It's very pretty.
Wow. And do you have any plan for the next year? Or are you going to any conferences? Doing any exchange?
No. Well, I have a couple of projects, with a friend and everything, but nothing really concrete. I'm more focusing on sorting out everything so I can just write. Mm.
Do you enjoy writing at all?
Yeah, I love it.
Love writing.
Yeah, most of the time I have to rewrite because I'm not very academic when I write. Now I get I kind of fall into this very colloquial tone.
Yes.
And I enjoy it, but then I have to read through and correct and make it more academic and insert more references and everything.
Definitely.
But it's part of a process and I do enjoy it a lot.
I don't think your department has anyone who hates writing, otherwise they won't be there.
That's the thing. You wouldn't be.
No, exactly. I think most people at PhD level, they don't mind, at least.
Yeah.
They might not going to love it 24/7, but they don't mind it.
And also, it depends on your area, of course. I mean, me, if you're doing English and literature, you have to like reading and writing. But maybe if you're doing something science-y or, I don't know.
They write other things.
Yeah, then you have just your logs and everything. But
I know.
You don't have to do all that writing.
No. Any career plans? Are you looking forward into completing the PhD and becoming a... No,
never. I want to stay here forever. Can I live here? No.
Yeah, please.
At uni and stay here forever and I don't know, become a plant.
And advocate dressing up for Wi-Fi and...
Yeah, of course, I can do that.
It can be part of our campaign. We'll start campaigning out Vembra tomorrow.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, don't worry. You don't even need to change out. You'll be one of the illustrations.
Yeah, of course.
You'll be in your costume and staying there.
Yeah, Johnny Cash. No, seriously, I do. I mean, I don't know. I guess I have to go back to Mexico and practice what I've been studying, actually try to make this work at some point, try to encourage schools. And I've been doing that, talking to students back there, to undergrads, and try to get them interested in working Shakespeare. Because, of course, in Mexico, we do pick thesis subjects for undergrads. So,
yep.
When they have to pick their subjects, sometimes they don't think about translation that much just because it doesn't cross their minds.
No.
So I've been talking to literature students back there and everyone's so excited about it and so happy like with the idea. So like it looks good. It looks like something I could do in the future. So that's good.
You must really enjoy.
I love it.
Talking to them
and teaching, man. I miss teaching so much.
Yeah. Do you not teach at the university?
Not now. No. I've been too busy. Confused. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been very busy, like with stuff that I have to do. I would love to. I'll look into it later. But like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss teaching a lot. And yeah, well, that's
let's start from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know where you go.
Yeah, and also like I'm kind of excited about like working with theater people as well. You know, like.
Producing kind of something
like, well consulting maybe consulting I mean it's just them, yeah. yeah like because we need that, we need more Shakespeare in Mexico. That's what we need. It's gonna fix all of our problems.
It's
gonna get rid of the narcos, it's gonna fix the corrupt government. Get rid of the United States building
seriously,
a wall.
Maybe they need to read Shakespeare as well,
of
so
course
the world
do.
Will be a wonderful place. I know,
everything will be
they'll
better.
Be very nice. Yeah, if people read more
in general.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I mean it builds up your empathy, it makes you like look at things outside of
and
yourself
think
yeah
more
think
you
lot.
Definitely think more. But well, I was just thinking like the length of literature we as a species read on a daily basis has seriously shrunken over the years. Now
so
we read
sad.
Twitter and yeah. Instagram, who doesn't even like.
But there's no
words.
Writing there, yeah.
I know. I mean, pictures are good. I love pictures, especially cats and dogs.
Yes, of course.
Corgis. But it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It stimulates, reading stimulates your mind or cognitive development and etc. It's just...
Of course. And it's very social. I mean, I know I kind of sound a bit repetitive with this, like, social issues.
No problem.
But it's what, like... Our reality, you see, we got like a couple of years back, we had an education reform in Mexico, and they sort of took away most of philosophy and literature from high school. So it was like,
why?
It became just like an optative, you know?
Okay.
Like, so, and
so what do they read then?
They don't read much. So everything
Kanye
focuses
West.
On like, yeah, well,
lyrics.
The right. kids, of course, they, well,
yeah.
they're not that bad. If you show
no.
them something fun, they will read. And that's
they
the
will.
Thing. But
yeah.
they don't know about this. And we thought that this, we always thought that this is because we're like building up to be always like a country of workers and not thinkers. So it's really sad that we're encouraged to do that and always focus on mechanical stuff like engineering and science, which
Math.
Is good and
yes,
necessary.
Yeah.
But
yes.
you also need humanities.
Definitely.
Because we're human. I mean...
Definitely.
Yeah, you need to teach the kids how to think. And like it's sort of like a privilege, thinking and having an access to a culture. And you have to teach them this because they don't know it, because they're kids.
No. No, not at all. And if you don't cultivate that ideology from a very early stage, they're not going to like suddenly wake up one day and think, I'd like to read Shakespeare from now on.
Of course.
Well, it would be nice if they do, but it's not really reality not how human mind works as well.
Yeah, no, they have to know it's around them, it's there, and it's not just there, but like accessible to them.
Yes. And they need to have the willingness to access them. It's,
yeah.
I know it's not as fun as probably iPad games.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And there's like Shakespeare iPad games too.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yes, yeah. I've seen those. I played them. I was like, oh, wow. They're really, really, like some of them are very well sought out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see people put a lot of thought and...
Which is amazing. I mean, it's a great way to... spread awareness.
Definitely.
Good stuff in the world. I don't know. I mean,
wow. We are in the last 10 minutes of the show now, so we're going to ask you a few routine questions, right?
All right.
So you definitely, I can tell, you are enjoying your PhD process very much so.
I know.
Do you have anything to share for any listeners who want to become a PhD or get involved in research, especially in the literature field? Anything in particular at all?
Well... just go for it. I mean, it's so much fun. And well, I think from just personally, I thought it was like very daunting, a very like, you know,
it's quite scary.
Kind of scary, yeah.
It's very scary.
At first it is, but mostly, especially here, everyone's so friendly. Everything is made so accessible to you
yeah.
that you really like you don't have to be scared. And like, no, no, I really am, like, I'm chicken. I'm completely scared all the time, but like intimidated by people and
really?
Everything.
I can't tell.
Thank you, but no, yes.
Yeah, you're good. You're really good at masking
Fake
things.
Until
then.
You make it. Yeah. Yeah, but like, don't be scared, because there's no need. I mean, it's just like stupid. It's just going to slow you down. And yeah, no, just go for it. It's good.
Yeah.
And the English department here is amazing. Really, it is. Everyone's so friendly. And yeah.
I think it's very, there are going to be ups and downs. There's no doubt.
Always.
You always get, you always question either your academic ability or you as a human being. You get
always.
Questioned, I think.
Yes, and of course.
Yeah, that's, I consider it as a sign of progress, yeah. of you thinking, reflecting on yourself as a human being, basically. You are thinking, oh, wow, am I doing the right thing? Is this correct? Is this...
Of course.
And the community here is quite lovely, I think.
Yeah.
People are very helpful. And once you start talking to them, you think, oh, wow, everybody goes through the same problem.
Yes, of course.
Everybody kind of dread tech meetings.
Yeah, of course.
Unless they have scones, we're going to change that.
Well, yeah, we should. Even for like just the regular supervision meetings, scones would be nice.
I know. Yeah, tea.
Tea.
Start offering with tea. Yeah. Start with tea. It's a country that drinks tea on a regular, religious basis. It's,
yes.
They are so religious about their tea. I know, every morning.
It's really good. I mean, I can really appreciate it. I thought, like, in Mexico, you can't get good tea.
Can you not?
This is something I take the same way I bring chili. I take tea. I take a big box of Yorkshire tea to Mexico.
Have you seen those Yorkshire tea that has 1,000 tea bags in a box?
The big one.
The ginormous like pack.
Oh my god, where is that?
You can find them on Amazon. I googled it the other day because I saw one in my boyfriend's office, and then I was like, I've never seen those. I know. Usually the ones we get is about 250 or 500, the box one.
Box, yeah.
There is a like a proper plastic bag one.
Oh my god,
I know, it's so shocked price.
And if it's on Amazon, maybe I can get it from Mexico.
I know,
it's a good idea. I don't
oh
have to
my
carry
god
it.
I know. Christmas.
Christmas. No, I'm not coming for Christmas, but in summer next year maybe.
No, I was thinking like Christmas presents sorted.
Oh yeah,
for the rest
course.
Of the day
completely. Yeah, because I bring tea to Mexico, everyone wants tea that I bring, and then now everyone's like texting me, it's ran out, the tea you brought
I know
me,
where are you coming back
one.
Sorry, we don't miss you at all.
just
the
tea. Bring
tea. Just tea. Ship them over. I don't really care whether you come home or not.
I would do this. Send tea.
Is Mexico a tea drinking city? No, country at all though.
No, this is why we don't get... We have great coffee. And this is something I struggled to find good coffee here. I'm sorry, British people, but instant coffee is not coffee.
Even their like coffee beans that they claim to be...
Not good. Not good at all. No.
There's nothing. That was... And I was in Italy. I've never been to Italy before. Right. I went to Italy September, and I had espresso there. And then I thought, wow.
So good. Yeah, I know.
I don't understand. What's the difference? Are they just the beans or the technique that they use?
The beans and how they make it. And how sometimes... I don't know, I get filtered coffee, for example, is usually burned and bad.
And wishy-washy most of the time. It doesn't have any.
So watery. But there is one place in the center that has really good coffee.
Which
at
one's
least.
That called?
The Attic? Have you been there?
Yes. On the third floor, I think they have a comedy club on the first floor, above Narrow.
Yes.
Yes.
Next to that one has really good coffee.
Do you know they do gin as well?
The what?
At night.
Oh yeah, they do gin. And gin is an amazing British thing. Thank you for gin. Yeah,
I
it's
know.
Really good.
I know. They have tea and they have gin and they have scone. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Probably we should really incorporate into the Viva process. Three of them. Pick one or pick two. If you're really...
Well, especially gin. I mean, if we're talking about the Viva.
Definitely going for gin.
Yeah.
I know. I think we should do shorts first. Leading up. Good morning. Just do shorts. That would be lovely.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, come on. At least you'd be less nervous. Yeah.
I know. And I think you kind of like talk better. You are more fluent, more confident. Yeah, I know. And everything will be nice. I think we're going kicked out now.
All right.
No. We still have half-ish minutes. So you... Oh, right. Yes. The last part of the show, I usually ask the guests to share some sort of contact information, just in case someone in the listeners would like to contact you or for, I don't know, advice, or they are interested in writing for Shakespeare. How could they find you?
Well, I've got like my uni email.
Yes.
So Lilia Hijuelos with a H.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. It's like Hijuelos.
It's really difficult too.
I'm sorry. I know it is. No, it's like very, very Spanish. And yeah, but like, and Facebook? Well, my Facebook as well, of Twitter? Course. And I don't do Twitter.
You don't do Twitter.
Never got the hang of it. But
it's too short.
Yeah.
You can't even type in your thesis title.
No, I write too long. I don't. It just doesn't do it for me. But yeah. And yeah, my uni email is LHS 521. So mm-hmm. if anybody got that.
Yeah, if anybody it. Want to, I don't know, talk about translation of Shakespeare.
Please
into...
talk to me about Shakespeare. Yeah. And translation.
Just Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do anything with translation at all. Could just Shakespeare.
Anything. Just Shakespeare or translation or Scone. Dirty jokes. Yes. Scones, of course, and dirty puns and jokes. I love dirty humor. So, of course.
Can you find one to end the show? Dirty joke from Shakespeare.
No, you're killing me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I should have brought them.
I know. That should be one of the tips they were writing.
I know. No, and I thought, you know, because I was late and I thought I'd go and grab some of my stuff from the desk and then I didn't have time because I was running here. I'm sorry.
No problem.
But, well, then...
On top of your head?
If anyone wants to go around and check Romeo and Juliet, that also has a lot, and that's someone I'm working.
Really?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the part where they do the thing where, like, you know, the I wish Rosalind was an open arse and you were a pupper in pear. That's so explicit and so direct. So there you go. I mean, it's not just dirty.
Not just that, yeah.
It's quite dirty. Like, and if you have like any sort of doubt as to what he is referring to, go look up the actual fruit. Open arse? Yeah, but what was the name for, like, you know, what's
I don't even know.
The poplar.
Oh, yes. Oh, wow.
Just look at the fruits and you'll see what he was meaning. I mean, it's quite explicit and it's quite direct. And
I never noticed that. I've seen the play of Romeo and Juliet when I was in Shanghai. And I thought, oh, okay. It's fun. It's definitely fun. But I never noticed the dirty languages or the ponding that you... refer to. Wow.
I know, because most of the time you don't notice it unless you watch it in the original language and pay attention to it.
The original language is not like a novel, it's just play, one person saying one word. Some of the... Is Romeo and Juliet one of the play writing as well in the original book? I'm being very idiotic here now.
What, like, is it...
a novel? It's not a novel.
No, it's a play.
Yeah, it's a play, exactly. That's why I found it very difficult to read.
Yes, of course.
It's just you reading people talking, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, and there's no, like, there's no description, just dialogue and action within the dialogue. Yeah, but really good dialogue, like, really.
Well, I'm going to go home and read some of that now.
Go find it, yeah.
Thank you very much.
No,
next time I'll email you. I'll have you back again. Right. Thank you very much for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I wish you all the best for your future in Denver. And I hope to read some of your translation later.
Thank you.
Down the line.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much for listening as well. And I hope you have a lovely day. We'll see you again next Tuesday. And happy Halloween.
On air, 1350 AM and online.
This is the universe.